We will be providing the text on the overhead at occasional times so you can at least be aware of what we're talking about from God's Word. That's our priority, is God's Word and making sure that it is indeed His Word, not mine, that is being presented here today. Like us begin our time together with prayer and then look into the Scriptures on some very important things on how we conduct our lives. Father, again, we thank You for this privilege. Just thank You for the wonderful songs that we can sing in the preparation of our hearts and recognizing how awesome You are and how that ought to cause us to be willing to bring ourselves underneath in subjection, aligning ourselves underneath You. For Father, the things we're going to talk about today are from Your Word, and help us to see the need to conform our lives to You, the need to recognize that You indeed are the one who owns everything and that we are just mere stewards of that which is in our possessions. Father, I pray that You will help me to be a vessel for Your honor and glory, that indeed my flesh may not be a hindrance in what we are doing, but instead that You might use me as whatever way You see fit to get Your Word out in a way that will challenge hearts, encourage, and bring people to places of change in their lives. We thank You again for this privilege of prayer and pray for Your continued work in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that we like to do in church is to be able to do certain things, to be able to be involved with those things that are going on. I don't know about you, but I'm not one who just likes to sit and to observe. Some individuals are real good observers. I am not as good at observing. I like to be involved with different things. I like to have some interaction. And same thing is true in my worship experience. And involved with church and serving God. I don't like to just sit and watch other people do things. I like to be involved myself. But you know, there's sometimes when we find that we may not be able to accomplish that which we want to accomplish. We'll find that to be true in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the people of Philippi, and in a sense he's saying this. He says, you had a desire to do something at one point, but you couldn't do it. And that's something that's a challenge for us. Challenge for me to be restricted if there's times when I can't do something, and maybe the same thing might be true for you when you really want to do something and you can't do it. But one of the things concerning being able is, or ability, is the concept of availability. Making ourselves available for the Lord. So we're looking at Philippians 4, 10 through 13. Please look at me at verse 10, about those who cared but couldn't. Verse 10 says this, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me, or concern, or thinking, or your mind being on me, has flourished. Word there, flourish, is like revived, flourished again. Though you surely did care, same word is used above, but you lacked opportunity. Basically, the context here, folks, is that the Apostle Paul was a missionary that depended upon the gifts of other more established churches to help him go through and deal with the newer churches that didn't have the financial undergirding that the churches in which we were supporting him did. And at one point, the people of Philippi were able to do that, but something happened and they were not able to. But Paul noticed the fact that they had a care or a concern about that, but something happened where they couldn't help out at that particular time. And as he's talking about now, that's been revived, and now again they're able to, in a sense, get into that missions program of sharing, in particular, finances to help other churches get going. They cared and wanted to give, but could not give. I've talked with different individuals that have that same kind of dilemma. That as they talk with me, they say, Pastor, you know, I would really like to give more to missions or ministries or activities that promote the activities of God, but I just can't. Well, this message, if you know of individuals or maybe you're experiencing that yourself, this message today deals with some of those issues of what do we do when we can't give like we want. Let's look at that first. We're going to look at 3 points, as you can see on the back of your information sheet. I just kind of spelled them out for you today. We're going to look at, first of all, those who cared but couldn't. Those who had a mind to, that really wanted to help, but for some reason they just didn't have that available. Let's first of all look at this word opportunity. You lacked opportunity. That word opportunity is the same word as time or season. You look in some other New Testament verses, you'll find it used in Colossians 4:5, saying this, walk in wisdom toward those that are outside, redeeming the time. The word time there is the same as that word opportunity that these folks in Philippi lacked. These individuals in Philippi lacked the time or opportunity to help out. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That concept of redeeming is making sure that we are not allowing it to slip away from us. And making sure that we have that opportunity intact. Apparently something had happened to the people of Philippi where they were unable to do that. Well, let's look at some of the things that might involve that situation of not being able to have opportunity. First of all, dealing with those that are out of our hands. There are just some times when the Lord allows us to go through situations where we are just almost literally at times flat on our back and unable to give and to do. And for some individuals, that is a difficult stage in life because they are so wanting to help other individuals, and yet they might find that they are in a situation where they almost have to be on the receiving end. And they might be the ones to be helped instead of being the helpers. Those who want to help but are not available. Now, in the situation here might be that maybe financially we may not be free. God has brought something into our life. Maybe it's been an illness or something that just has happened and has put us in one of those situations, and we're confident it wasn't through any decision of our own or a sin of our own, but we find ourselves just in a financial situation and we can't help in that particular way. One of our suggestions might be this. If we're really desirous to see a work of ministry or help an individual ministry, maybe God is desiring for us to be involved in a different way. Maybe if we can't sit down and write that check, God has a way for us to be involved. And one of those ways might be in becoming a more intense prayer warrior for that particular mission or ministry and giving our heart in that particular way. Or it could be, as I've seen so many smaller churches that do not have a lot of missions monies and things like that to help out others that are in need, is that they just get together and pool their resources and put together projects and help in that way, where individual check may not be able to be made out, but the individuals have a heart and cared and wanted to take the opportunity to help in another way. Sometimes it's just involved with being available to help individuals in a way or form of being an encouragement. Because sometimes what happens is we have our idea of how we want to help. And it's just burned into our mind that I want to help in a certain way. This happens a lot with my children. Is that they just have in their mind, when I'm working on a project, they want to help in a certain way. But quite frankly, they're not necessarily equipped to help me with the things that I'm doing. Working on a light and they want to help me, maybe work with the electricity. Well, I'm not interested in having them helping me with electricity. So I've got to find something that they might be able to get involved with so they don't have to experience some of the things that I get involved with when I'm working with my electricity and happen to forget that the power's on or something like that. But they can hold the flashlight. It's not necessarily what they had in mind, but they can be involved. And sometimes that is what happens for us, that we want to be able to have a ministry where we're doing what we want to do, and God, for some reason, has us set up to where we just can't do it the way we want to do. And we must be open to be willing to help in another way. Number two, when those we want to help are not available, maybe consider if God wants us to help others. That, for example, this idea of we want to help a certain missionary and we can't get to them and help them in a certain way, or we want to help a pastor or whatever and can't help them a certain way. Maybe God is equipping us to help somebody else. and to share that love with someone else. Just kind of an example of what happened in our life. My mom, many years ago, went through some financial difficulties. My mom is not a believer, but she's a very, very faithful and responsible individual. But because of some series of things that went on in her life, she was trying to raise these small children with no financial capacity before she was able to get the employment and et cetera. And there was a lady that in a sense pulled her aside. A woman she just wasn't related to, really wasn't really close friends, but this woman was just a caring individual and said, "I'll help you out." And so she provided for her some finances and some way to help her get going. My mom turned to her and said, "There's no way I can help you. I mean, I don't know how to pay you back." And the lady just turned to her and said, "Well, you know, you probably will not be able to help me, but you can help somebody else." And you know, I've thought about that too. There's an individual who was very impacting in my life when I was 14 years old. His name is Randy Johnson, not the pitcher for Arizona, but Randy Johnson was the individual who led me to the Lord back when I was 14 years old. I have not seen him for 15 years. I don't even know where he is. And I would love to do things to help him, but I just think, well, if I can't help him, I'll help somebody else, and I'll invest my life in helping other individuals. And there have been people all along that have come beside me and helped me in various ways that I can't really reach out and help them back, but I must be willing to consider what God wants me to help others. How about if God limits our means to help? Well, we've kind of touched on it a little bit under the first point, but what about the idea of growing through humility and mercy? Have you ever thought that maybe when God puts you in that situation where you do not have the means, that maybe He's using that to help you to grow in mercy and humility and understand what other people go through when they're dealing with those situations? One of the things the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians was this. He said, "With what comfort we are comforted by God, we can comfort others." Basically, he's saying, in order to do that, you have to go through some hard times. You have to go through some difficulties to really be able to comfort other people with the same comfort you've received. And so it could be God is allowing us to go through these difficult times where we're not able to really get out there and help other people, and we might even have to be on the receiving end to help us to be able to understand how God provides in His grace and mercy. And second of all, be the one helped with plans to revive help. Just like Paul is talking to the people of Philippi, maybe there's not that possibility for you to help during that period of time, but God is waiting for a time when you can revive that help and be able to give once again as the people of Philippi did. Second of all, maybe you lack opportunity. So you're dealing with those opportunities that we have lost. This is the more difficult part of this message. This is the part where we start getting into things that are God starts working on our heart. It's easier to maybe accept the fact that God has set us aside for something and follow His will, but it's really hard when we realize that we are not available for God or being able to do what God wants because of some decisions in our own life. Things that we are accountable for. Let's look at some of the things that sometimes keeps us from being able to be available for God. One of those things would be our current spending and schedule margins. And we've just gotten caught up in this life, as someone says, there's two races. There's God's race and there's the rat race, right? And we get so caught up in the rat race, is however one wants to define that. But the idea, and I've heard it described this way, is where individuals are so intense on making the most of their life that they don't have any margins in their life. You ever read a book and found one that where they almost went from the left all the way over to the right margins? It didn't leave any white space around the book. And they go from the top and to the bottom. What's your attitude towards those kind of readings? You know what mine is? I don't want to read this. It just looks like it's too much. I like to have margins around it because the margins frame it nice and neat, and it gives me the idea that there's hope I can finish this. Because if I see something that's going from here to here all the way up and down, it's way too much. Margins in literary works, and any good literary work has good margins around them, are important. And margins in our life are important too. But what we want to do is, if we're saying my page of my life is so important that I am going to try to fill it all up. From edge to edge, from top to bottom, I am going to fill it all up. But you know, the difficulty with that might be is that we may be doing that, but not leaving the margins to be able to sit down and say, okay, where am I going to be available for God? Where is God's? And I guess I'm not trying to say that God is the one who ought to be the marginal one in our life. I'm not saying that in any sense. But I'm saying sometimes we get so caught up with saying, I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to be one who's going to be active. I'm going to be one who's doing. And forget to sit down and say, you know, I need to sit down and leave some margin in my life for God to work with. You know, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to spend my money on? What is God? And that's where sometimes we lack opportunities because we pushed all out. We don't leave it. We don't leave it in our time. We got every moment planned and worked out that if something should come up where we could be available to help minister, we can't. Because our day timer says we can't. Because we've not left time out for that. Or it could be financially, we have set up and we're trying to be very good stewards with our money and use it in such a way where we got everything going in that particular areas that we fail to realize that God might sometime want to impress our hearts to say, hey, here's an individual who has a great need. I want you to give. He said, but I can't. My money's all tied up here and here and here and here. Sorry, Lord, I'm not available. And sometimes that's because of our own decisions, our own way of charting out our life, as we have decided that we are going to dictate what we're doing. But folks, the problem with that is this. Our time, our life, our finances are not our own. God tells us that all things were made by Him and all things were made for Him. We're even told that this body is not our own, that we're to use it to glorify Him. And so therefore, our time, our energy, our finances ought to be set up to where we're looking at first, what would God have me to do? We're very quick to have the little bracelets, what would Jesus do? But sometimes we fail to realize that that actually involves our time, our finances, our activities, that we need to sit down ahead of time to work on our current spending and schedule and find out, have we left out margins? Have we left out opportunities for God to use us? Second of all, one of the reasons why we might not have opportunities is, quite frankly, our determination that we want things done our way. We just have to say it's a selfishness. This is my money. This is my time. And I want to use it for me. And I'm not interested in giving it up for other people. And that is something that we have to deal with because the Scripture says that we are to love one another. And that concept of love is be willing to look at what I have and see how it might apply in the lives of other individuals. And that is so foreign to the way we think a lot of times. We think that what I have is for me. And we don't think about how that what I have should be used to help other people. And we tend to be selfish about the things that are in our life. Thirdly, one reason we might lack opportunity is that we just, I hate this one, but laziness. We've fallen into a leisure idea that we just, I don't have time or I don't have finances to help people because I am not out there doing what I need to have it available. An example was given of an individual who was sitting on a park bench and he was approached by one of the individuals that as they were going along, and the person didn't have much of a job. He had a job where he could make just a few bucks enough to get by and would sit on the park bench the rest of his days. And he was talking about how superior he was because he had a simplified life, the life of love. And he just made enough money and he supported, two children over in a foreign land with so much money and so they could eat and things like that. And the person just basically looked at him and said, well, that's very noble, but you know, if you had a full-time job, you could support more kids, couldn't you? If you worked harder, you could have more to give. And quite, and we're not talking about an individual that already had, this guy had many margins. I mean, he had like three words on a page. So he had plenty of margins. So it's not like a guy's trying to overtax him and stuff. But his idea was, I'll just get by. And he justified and salved his conscience by saying, well, I am giving. But quite frankly, he was not hardly giving at all. he had justified his laziness by giving a little portion that if he were really, truly concerned and committed about those individuals he claimed to care about, he'd be getting out there and earning more money to be able to help more people, if that was really his convictions. And sometimes we might be the same way, that we are only content with realizing, well, I'm getting by in my life, and that's fine. You know what's interesting? Ephesians chapter 4, when it's talking about those who had the sinful habit of stealing, the answer to them was not just to stop stealing. The answer to them was, you stop stealing, you go get a job so that you can earn more money, so that you will have money, so that you can give to other people. Now that is a radical concept, isn't it? That, you know, you're really not cured of your selfish desire to steal from other people until you have been willing to sacrifice your own self for the benefit of somebody else. For you have already determined in your life that you are going to take advantage of other people and pull from them instead of getting to the point where you recognize that you live on this earth with a great opportunity to help other individuals out. Fourthly, it might be just the concept of ignorance, of not realizing that that we could better invest our money or better give, may not know where the needs are, may not know what God's expectations are for us in regard to the fact that it is His money, or the fact that He does expect God's people to make sure God's work gets done. Sure, God could just allow money to fall out of the sky. He could do that. He could just allow things to electronically be put into the church's checking account, you know? And he could just take care of that on a regular basis. Wouldn't that be wonderful, Robert? Just all of a sudden, you just look in there, and, oh, there's another $1,000. Great, you know? But it doesn't work that way. God has chosen to use us. And one of the blessings of that is that we can see how God can use that which we have given. A fifth thing might be that one reason we might lack opportunity is because of some past choices or sins. And this is a sad one. The other ones are things that maybe we can see some quick change on. Maybe changing our lives and deciding and making some quick decisions that might help us to free up some money or time to help the Lord's work. But, you know, the other one, past choices and sins, sometimes they leave some very deep difficulties. One of the things I noticed in our ministry in Tell City, Southern Indiana, and some of the dear folk we work with, they were saved out of some very difficult situations, and their spending habits and some of the sinful activities they had and some of the relationships, etc., basically left them strapped. It left them to a place where their money was going out all different directions, and they were just trying to get you know, their head above water. This reminds me of an illustration of individual many years ago who was considered one of the in his area, one of the richer men in his area, and people were very they would be very hard on him, because they would see him sometimes going and get something to eat, and he would just get like water and parsnips and stuff like that, and they're thinking, what a miser. Yeah, what a miser. The guy's got all this money and all this kind of stuff, and they knew of his business transactions in the past and all that type of stuff. And they knew the guy's got to have money. And look, he's just living off of water and parsnips or turnips or whatever it was. And I remember them just really, give the story, talking about how they would do that. And someone pulled him aside and confronted him in a very self-righteous way. And the guy had this man who had lived a rough life and made some bad decisions in his life and should have a lot of money. He turned to him in a very humble way and he says, I know it appears that I should have a lot of money, but I made a lot of wrong decisions. And as a result of that, I'm in great debt. And it may seem like I've got a lot of stuff, but the only way I can afford to keep up with my bills and everything is to eat this stew of water and vegetable. And it was kind of interesting because the thought was, here's this guy who's just being miserly. The guy was just trying to be responsible and had to pay, really, the penalty of some of the wild oats, if you would, that he sowed earlier in his life. And that might be the situations we might deal with. We have made some decisions in our past that have kept us from having the freedom to give to God's ministry as we like, or the freedom to give of our time to God as we would like. And those are the types of things that we might have to sit down. And I think in each of these cases, we have to sit down. If we are being convicted of God to say, you know I would love to give, but we have to sit down and say, well, is the reason we can't give really God's situation, or is it some things that we have done? Some choices we have made. And folks, if it's some choices we have made and we know to do right and we're choosing not to, that comes under the pattern of sin, which requires seeking of forgiveness, repentance to God, and seeking to change in those particular areas. And this is where it really gets hard. This is where we're sitting down and saying, well, I really have to change in this area. A lot of people will talk about it and feel bad about it, but what are we doing to change it? What are we doing to discipline our lives to ensure that we are able in these various opportunities that God might give? Well, one of the things that, and we'll deal more with this in the future message on this idea of stewardship, is in the next verse, in verse 11. He talks about this more in detail, but like I said, I'm going to cover it a little bit more. He said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Apostle Paul was talking about the fact that there was a time there they couldn't give. And he, in a sense, learned that during those times he had to kind of get along without. And he said he learned how to deal with having a great deal amount, and he learned how to deal with having nothing. But the key thought here is that he learned to be content with things and control through contentment. We are more available to give when our desire to get is surpassed by our desire to give. That's just a thought that I came up with in working in my own heart and my own responsibilities for God. I can develop more opportunities to give when my desire to give is there. When I have a heart burning that I want to give and not get, and I can be content with what God has given to me, the opportunities for me to give increases considerably. But if my goal is to see what I can get, then it makes it very difficult for me to think about how God can give. I've talked with numerous individuals that have made it their habit of giving to the Lord, and the comment they give is this: I can never outgive God. They have given and God has replenished. They have given and God has replenished. And God has blessed. Sure, there were times they didn't have maybe the nice cars that somebody else had, or the nice home or the clothes or all these other things, but they learned to live within this framework of contentment and to realize that they could get by without having the latest of everything that the other neighbors have, and realize that it can be enjoyable to live with less things and have the freedom, and as they say, more blessed to give than to receive, and that joy to be available to help other individuals. Another thought with this is not a stage of life, but rather a state of thinking. I think we fall into the trap of this. I'm just going to wait until I get to that stage in life where I am able to give. You know, I just got so much going on right now, but I know that sometime down the road, things are going to free up, and I'm going to be able to give. It's going to be when I get that job, or it's going to be when my kids grow up, or it's going to be when I retire. Somewhere down that line, wherever it is, there's always pushback, depending on where you are in stage of life. But there's that idea that when I get to such and such stage, I will have that freedom to give. Folks, it's not that. It is a state of your heart. It is that state of a heart wherever you might be. That's why Jesus said when the little widow lady went through and she gave such a small amount, and everyone mocked and thought, oh, she's just giving like 2 pennies. Jesus said she gave more than everybody else because she was giving in regards to her heart attitude of wanting to give more than receive. It is not a stage of life. And if we keep thinking that I'm going to get it there someday where I'm going to be able to give and it's all going to be better, it is just not going to happen. You can prove me wrong and you can try it, but I want to encourage you that the opportunity is when God's working on your heart And it's amazing what God can do through you, no matter where you are in whatever stage of life you're in. I have not hit the full gamut of different stages of life, but it feels at times that I'm getting there. But I have had the privilege of hitting different levels of life. And in those teen years, when there's that temptation of thinking, well, I don't have much income at all, and everything that I earn ought to be my money and my spending money and my fun money, it's still an opportunity to give unto the Lord and to develop a discipline. Those early 20s, when you're going through college and you're pinching every penny and all that, the disposable income you had as a teen now is gone, you can still give unto the Lord, and God will bless through that. When those kids first come along and you don't know where you're going to get the money to make sure they're clothed and all that type of stuff, if you can have the attitude of contentment, God can take a little and make a whole lot out of it. And we've seen God do that. And it goes on through different stages of life. If you're willing to be content instead of wanting everything in your time, how about having it in God's time? And learning to work with it. We'll spend more on that on another time. You're probably thrilled with that, aren't you? Number three, we can through Christ, and we'll close with this concept. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the encouraging part of it. We want to be able to do all things, but quite frankly, sometimes we, as I stated earlier, make ourselves unavailable. But the point is, we can be available. We can be doing that which is pleasing to God and giving to God and making sure that we're involved with that part of the ministry. Look at the word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's interesting how this word strengthen is used in other areas. Just kind of give you an idea that this idea of strengthening isn't just so that we can be strong as individuals. Sometimes we use this verse to kind of help us to get through life. I'll do that too. But God's wanting more than that. God wants to strengthen you, not just so you can stand up. God wants to strengthen you so you can do and serve and accomplish things. Look how it's used. In Ephesians 6:10, we are strengthened for the spiritual battle. That there is a battle that is going on. And when Paul talks about being strengthened, it's not just a strength to be able to just survive. It's a strengthening to be able to push forward in the battle. Hebrews 11:34 talks about strengthening our faith to be able to accomplish great things. Hebrews 11 talks about all the wonderful things the people in the Old Testament had accomplished through faith because they were willing to trust God and use their strength not just so that it was for selfish reasons, but accomplish great things for God. 1 Timothy 1:12, Apostle Paul again is talking about strength, and this concept is the strength to serve. This again talks about what is our attitude. Am I calling upon God and His strength so that I can have a greater impact in other people's lives? Am I looking for more strength so that I can give more? Am I looking for more strength so that I can get more involved? Or am I just looking for strength so I can deal with the pressures of life? One of the things I have found, and folks, I am not exempt from the discouragements of life. I am not exempt from allowing my mind to go into discouraging patterns. But I have found, amazingly, that when I get up and call upon for God's strength to help other people, it's amazing. It's amazing how that strength carries me through and that my mind changes and I see how awesome and wonderful our God is. In Acts 9:22, Apostle Paul again talking about the strength to be able to preach and to deal with the Word of God and help people understand it. I guess my point in giving all these verses is this, is that the reason that we get the strength, the reason I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is not for our own little personal strength. It's so that we can be available to be used for God. And a lot of it comes down to what are we wanting to do? What are we wanting to accomplish? Are we serious about wanting to give to God? Are we serious about wanting to give ourselves to God? One of the illustrations that I think of, you may have heard this before, but there's a story of a little girl who was on her way to church. They would take an offering at the church, and so she had two coins, a quarter for her and a quarter for God, to go in the offering. And as she was walking along her way, she was just kind of tossing them up and tossing them up and tossing them up, and she was walking along the curb. And one of the coins fell down, rolled around, and slipped over the curb, down through the grate, into the sewer. And the little girl turned up to God and said, "Well, God, there goes your quarter." And I don't wonder if maybe that's the way we look at things. When difficulties come, the first person that we want to make sure, well, God caused it, it's His money, it's out, can't give. There goes your quarter, God. Or are we seeing and willing to say, "God, I still got your quarter here. That was mine that went down the drain. And I'm going to trust you to replace that quarter." Let's pray. Father, there are times when it is hard. There are times, and I know some of these folks have gone through some difficult times. And Lord, I think those are the times when you look upon us and you so desire for us to be successful. And you so desire for us to show yourself wonderful and awesome and powerful. Father, one of the things that really gets in our way as we look at things from our opportunities or our time, we fail to realize you work things out in your time, in your way. God, give us greater faith. We ask in Jesus' name.